So go with me to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 2. All of these verses are going to be in the NIVA, except for one, and I will point that out when I get a little bit further down. James chapter 4, verse 2. You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. I quote this verse almost every Sunday morning when I say, you have not because you ask not. And this is the very place where that verse is. So it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And one of the prayer hindrances that could be prevalent in a believer's life is just the simple thing that they have not asked God for what they are needing. Now, Carson, I want you to get your Bible and I want you to follow along. There's people and you say, well, you know, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. He absolutely knows your heart. But see, out of the abundance of the heart, that mouth of yours has to speak. It speaks. It needs to speak. And there, you can't just think, well, God knows my heart, so I don't have to pray. No, you have to pray. You have to have a prayer life. Because what is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. You don't have to pray some fancy long prayer with all these big words that you don't even know what they mean. But you need to have a prayer life that's active and that's regular. And one of the hindrances that could keep you from getting and receiving the things that you need from the Lord is could be just as simple as you haven't asked him. Sometimes what we need the most are very, very simple, and we think, well, you know, do I really even have to ask God? That's so piddly. And I would say, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And there are times where we get into little things and areas in our life where we say, God, I don't even know what to pray for, and I don't even know what I need, but God, help me. And you know what? I consider that a prayer because I've prayed that prayer many times. Lord, I don't know what I need in this situation. God, I don't know, you know, what the answer is, but God, I'm asking you to help me with this. But like I said, one of the hindrances could very easily be you have not because you ask not. I encourage you to ask God what you're in need of, what things that you're requesting of him. And then to follow this up, it says you have not because you do not ask God. But verse 3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So my point number 2, sometimes when we have prayed, we prayed for something, and the motive for why we prayed for that was not pure. And what I can tell you is God will not grant impure prayer requests to you. If you say, God, I can't stand my neighbor. They cut their grass too short and they're making my property look terrible. Can you just wipe them off the planet? He's not doing that. I have to give examples of things that people understand, okay? He's not doing that because that's not a very pure thought for you to be having, okay? So when you do ask, you have to make sure that your motive and your heart is aligned with the will of God and the Word of God. And sometimes we're asking God for something that there's some selfish motives there. And so that can be a prayer hindrance for you if the motive isn't pure and it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And so it says here, go with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 7 through 8. And I said this morning, one of the most beautiful sounds that you will ever hear on the planet is the turning of the pages of the Word of God. I encourage you to bring your Bible to church and begin to turn those pages and see it for yourself. It says, ask and it will be given to you. So once again, there is something there that you have to do. Ask. You have to ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. See, there's a part of you that's going to have to seek some things out. And what we have done is we've created a society where even the believers are spiritually lazy. Oh, I don't have to pray. God knows my heart. I don't really need to seek Him because, I mean, He knows everything. No, you do. You do need to seek God. There's some things you're not going to get an answer to until you seek Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. What is this? This is about three promises right here in the Word of God. It promises that if you ask, you're going to receive. And here's the thing. I just said, you know, if you ask with the wrong motives, and here's the thing that I know about God. There's something that happens to us, Angel, and I'm going to give a good example. I don't even remember who it was about, but how many of you have ever had an enemy that you just couldn't stand? I mean, I'm a real pastor. I'm going to tell you like it is. I have had enemies before in the past that I just couldn't stand. Now, a lot of people don't like when a pastor keeps it that real, but that's fine with me because you know what? The truth will set people free all day long. And I got to a point where I knew I wasn't pleasing God by not liking this person. And I said, God, help me to be able to like this person. Because see, I don't even know why I don't like them. I just don't like them. And now to this day, I don't know who I'm even talking about, but I remember this season of life. And God said to me, Kelly, if you'll start praying for them, this is going to turn around in your life. And I thought, well, that's the last thing I want to do is pray for them. But so I started asking God to do some things on their behalf. My motives weren't real pure because I didn't really mean those prayers. Nothing happened. Here's something about consistency. When a believer consistently does the Word of God, things begin to change in their life. It may not be overnight, but it will change. I can guarantee you that because that itself is a promise of God. And I began to pray. And before I knew it, I began to actually mean those prayers. And then what happened is I began to see my enemy be blessed. And that in itself was a blessing for me. And then something else happened. In the middle of me praying for my enemy, I began to have compassion for my enemy. And then in the middle of having compassion for my enemy, I began to have empathy for my enemy. And I began to put myself in their shoes and to begin to try to understand where that person was coming from. So sometimes what it's a matter of is keep praying. Because here's what I know. When you continue to pray, if there's some motives in you that aren't right, God will correct them and He will help you get your prayers more accurate. He'll help you get your prayers more fervent. He'll help you get your prayers more sincere. Sometimes we're praying blank prayers up to God that there's no way He can answer those because they are what they are. They're blank prayers that we don't even care if He answers them or not. And we do that all the time. Somebody will say, pray for my aunt. She's in ICU. Oh, okay, I'll pray for her. And we brush people off. And here's the deal. Here's what I've learned about life. Everything comes full circle. When somebody goes through the trouble to ask you to pray, here's one of the most powerful things that I've learned about prayer life. When somebody respects you enough that they say, hey, will you pray for blah, blah, blah? I do it on Wednesday. If they ask me to pray about something, I will put my body in that car and I will pray for them. But here's what I've learned about prayer. If you will pray for someone and you will connect, if you say, Pastor Kelly, pray for my cousin. They're in a lot of trouble. I'm going to pray for your cousin like it's my cousin. If we can make a personal connection with some prayers, if you can put yourself in someone else's place and say, how would I feel if that was me? You're going to pray more effectively. You're going to pray more fervently. You're going to pray more sincerely. And so it says here, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. Those are promises that God has right in his word for us. He promises that if you ask, you're going to receive. He may have to critique some of the things that you're asking for to get them lined up with his will and his word in your life. He promises you that if you'll seek him, that you'll find him. And he promises that if you'll knock, the door will be open. That's all activity on your part. Praying takes discipline. I used to just marvel at my dad because he does and did and still does pray about everything. I mean, we could be, I don't know, doing the most random event, and he's going to pray about it. If somebody ever said to him in the grocery store, I remember the old IGA grocery store, and we'd be up in there, and they'd be just about closing, and we'd be in that ramen noodle aisle with 37 different flavors of ramen noodles and about 57 different flavors of Shasta, and that was back in the good old days. And they'd be wanting to close. And somebody would have the nerve to ask Brother Angelo to pray about something. And we'd be there and we'd be praying for 30 minutes over that. And he'd be raising his hands, praying in tongues in the whole nine yards. And it used to just horrify me. And now I think, God, make me like that. Make me like that. There's a prayer life that you've always wanted just right there. And some of you are walking in that. And some of you, you want that. And you think, how do I do it? Make it a practice. And prayer, a prayer life takes discipline. Because, see, there's certain things that instead of talking about them, you should be praying about them. And that's the problem with humans. We like to do too much talking and not enough praying. Because talking makes us feel better most of the time. If we can blab that to 25 people by lunchtime, we're like, okay, I've talked to myself where, okay, I'm over this. Frank, I'm bad about this. I can preach about it because I'm bad about it. He's like, I just wish you would quit talking about that. When are you going to quit talking about it? And so now, there's certain things, if I'm going to talk to him about it, I'm going to go out of the house and I'll have that conversation. But I darn sure ain't going to have it in front of him because he don't like that because he does that part of the word more than I do. So, go with me now to James chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now this is talking about wisdom, but this is also talking about asking in general. So when you lack something in your life, you need to ask God for it. The other day, I found myself asking God for something that I hate asking God for. And you want to know what it is? Can anybody guess? I have resisted saying that prayer because I know what God will do when I say it. And so for a couple of years now, I have not asked Him for patience because I'm afraid of what that's going to bring on. But I kid you not, the other day, Miss Gina, in my life, I said, God, I know I've been dodging praying this prayer, but I see no way around it. So God, in the name of Jesus, God, do whatever it takes to make me more patient. God, do whatever it takes to make me more patient. Let me tell you, I've had more tests and more waiting than I have had in a long time. Yesterday, after the prayer breakfast, how many of you know when you put on a big old event like that, you're ready to be away from people after that? Amen. I love people. But when you put something on and you're in charge of it, it's really ultimately you've got to make sure that goes right. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody's allergic to something. You know, I mean, there's lots of things that you got to consider about having something like that. So I was ready to go home, and my sweet husband, he said, will you pick up my medicine from Walmart? Well, I had forgot like 2 days in a row the first 17 times he asked me to do that. So I thought, I love him so much that I'm going to do something that I absolutely don't want to do, which is go into Walmart right now and go get that medicine for that man of mine that I love so much. Angie, this is no joke. Yesterday at Walmart at like 12:45, I was up almost by the toy aisle, and there was one checker. And I even took a picture of it because I was so aggravated. And then I started laughing like a psycho with my buggy because I was like, this was that prayer. This was the prayer that I prayed a couple days ago about God give me patience, and here's what He's done. So you know what I did? I just put on my best pastor smile and just greeted everybody. How are you? And I hate asking that question, too, because you're going to hear 30 minutes worth of it. Yeah. Glory to God. I became Dr. Phil for about 15 minutes, and I got over it. You know what? I'm a little bit more patient. I can feel that going. But it says here, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. Here's the hanger to it. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Here's what I can tell you that can be a huge hindrance in your prayer life is when you ask God for something, and a lot of times, even as we're saying it to God, we are doubting. When you ask God for something, you have got to believe that He is able to do it. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or imagine. But that won't do you any good if you can't believe that God is able to do it. My kids don't ask me for stuff that they don't think I can give them. And they ask for everything. And that's one of the biggest compliments as a mom, is that they believe that I can give them what they're asking for. God is that on such a higher level. He wants you to ask Him, and He wants to talk to you, and He wants to have those communications with you. But He wants you to believe that He can do what you're asking Him to do. And if there's, I have said prayers that even in the middle of me praying the prayer, I was already doubting. What do we do then? You literally become like the man in the Word of God that says, I believe God, but help my unbelief. If you are praying prayers and the same time you're praying them, you are doubting, you need to stop that prayer. Literally, you do. You need to stop that prayer and you need to just shift that prayer around and you need to say, Lord, as you and I can both tell, I just got myself a little double-minded because here I am praying this one prayer and I'm already doubting that it can happen. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we'll come back to that prayer when I got my faith where it needs to be. But God, you help me to have the faith to believe that you can do that. God, whatever you got to change in me, Lord, whatever you got to do to make me know that you're going to handle this, God, I thank you that you're going to do that. Because, God, I don't want to ask you for things and not believe that you can do them. God, it's not a matter of you. Lord, this one's on me. One of the things that can help you to doubt God less is to recall any time that he's ever failed you. One of the things that will help you in doubtful prayers is to just do a little inventory and recall all the times that God has failed you. And guess what you're going to come up with? Never. 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 In those seasons where you're praying for something and something hasn't happened and it's been a while, just tell God, God, I thank you that you're never late. God, you're never late. Lord, I thank you for all the times that you showed up in my life just right on time. God, I thank you for saving me so many times. Lord, for saving me from myself. God, I thank you because, God, you have truly never been late. God, you won't be late now. Lord, every ounce of doubt in me, God, I ask that you turn it into faith. We're talking tonight about your prayer life. You need to believe God that he can do what you're asking him to do, because if you don't, that's a hindrance to your prayers. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 21. And it says here, Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. How do we get prayers answered? One of the things that can block our prayer is when we are walking in downright consistent disobedience. If there's an area of your life and you know you're not doing right and you continue to do it, that will hinder your prayers. It's a prayer hindrance. If Carson, just take him for an example. He's fixing to be 14 years old. I'm a planner. I've gotten him a little ATV thing that he can drive. Christy, literally the reason I got that thing was for him to begin to understand the concept of driving. Because there are too many young people dying because their mom and daddy never took the time to make sure that they knew how to be a good driver. Now listen. If I say, Carson, get out there and drive that thing, start getting knowledgeable about driving, and he don't listen, and when he gets 16 years old and he thinks I'm going to buy him a car, I'm not. If we have areas of our life that we are willingly walking in disobedience, and we're praying God to do these big old things in our life, and we got something up in our life, and we know we ain't doing right, and we're still praying, oh, God, bless me and make me a millionaire, but God, I'm doing this over here. God wants you to love him so much that when you disobey him, that hurts your feelings. How many of you have ever hurt your own feelings by just hurting God? There's times where my feelings have been hurt at what I've done. And I thought, man, I've hurt the only person that's ever just loved me regardless of anything. So we have to be obedient. And we receive from Him anything that we ask because we obey His commands and we do what pleases Him. One of the, if people can get this right in their life, man, those doors to blessing pop open. And one of those big doors is if people will fashion their life after pleasing God. Set it in your heart, God, I want to please You. How do I do that? God, what does it take to please You? What do You want me to do? And then you obey what He says. My great-grandmother always said this. My dad, we grew up hearing it. God always gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him. You really love God? Do what's going to make Him happy. What makes Him happy is you just doing the right thing, doing what He tells you to do. Last place for me tonight, and we don't have to, I'm going to read several verses here. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 1. I love, love, love this account. This is not a story. This is not a parable. This is an account of something that actually took place. And I love it. It's one of my most favorite things because it brings out a beautiful point. And it says this right here. And this is Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So here is Daniel. He had a vision. The vision was about a great war that was going to take place. Nobody likes to hear about wars that are coming. And it says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. So he has this vision. He realizes that there's going to be a war. And he begins to mourn, and he says, I mourned for 3 weeks over this. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. And his body was like a chrysalis, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. Verse 8, so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, and my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. In another translation, it says, Daniel, you who are highly favored, consider carefully the words that I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Verse 12, then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. And I want to stop right here in this account, and I want to tell you some things, and I want to pull some things out in your life. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what you're telling yourself, why you think you're not good enough. That's all garbage. God has called you. He's chosen you. But what I can tell you is that the Word of God is true. In this life, you will have some trials and you will have some tribulation. But you need to understand how God feels about you. God says that we are His chosen people. He spoke to Daniel through an angel and he says, Daniel, you who are highly favored. And sometimes when you're not getting your prayers answered, see, there was a holdup. And sometimes in the middle of us not getting an instant response, we begin to feel bad about some things and we begin to feel negative about ourselves. And I want to tell you something. You are a favored child of God. Sometimes a delay is not a denial. I'm going to say that one more time. A delay is not a denial, but there are some things that are not going to happen just instantly for us. And they're going to take patience. And if you're somebody like me and you've lacked patience, you do need to pray for it because you're going to need it with some prayers that you've been waiting on. Because there's some things, they ain't happening just quick as you want them to. That's how your faith grows. But you're favored. Getting ahead of myself because I love this. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. What is this account telling us? From the very first day that you prayed, Daniel, God heard you. Why is it important to pray? Because here's what I can tell you. From the very first day that you pray that prayer, God hears you. That's why it's important to pray. There's some things that God wants to hear you say out of your mouth. You have not because you ask not. Ask Him. Ask Him. There's some things that I'm believing God for, and Daddy, I even asked Him because that faith, I know the moment I'm praying that prayer, I don't have it in me to believe Him for it. And I've been covering that situation, saturating it in prayer. But see, there comes a point in your life where you got to get that faith and you got to say, Daddy God, I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask. Because see, the thing that's got you, money can't buy that for you. The real matters of the heart, the true desires of your heart. See, there's things that I know there are things that people in here you need from God. And there's been a reluctancy to ask Him because you're thinking, I don't even know if you can do that for me, God. And here's what I want to tell you. Yes, He can, number one. And number two, He wants to. And that's an insult to Daddy God for you to say, well, God, I want that, but I don't know if you can do it. And so I've been working. God, I don't want to insult you, Lord. Put the faith there. Put the faith there. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask God for that. God wants to do that for you. If anybody could do it for you, if a person could do what you really need, boy, you'd have done been on that. But see, there's some things that only God can do for you. And God wants you to ask Him. Ask Him. Verse 13. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Daniel, from the very first day that you said that prayer, God heard you, and He sent me in response to your prayer. But what I can tell you, Daniel, is for the past 21 days, there was a dark force. And I looked this up, and what it says is there was a figure, a dark guardian angel, a demonic force that was opposing the angel that God sent. See, sometimes in between you, your prayer that you've prayed and it coming to existence. See, the devil don't want you to get the very thing that your heart really desires. He doesn't want some things to break free and to break loose in your life. What is he going to do? You don't think the devil can send some things in your path? Yes, he can. The devil can send some hindrances your way. He absolutely can. And there's sometimes where the prayer is delayed. It's not denied, but it is delayed because of some opposition that the devil is throwing. But you see, in the end, God's going to win that. You can't just bow down and roll over and say, well, it hadn't happened for 21 days, so I'm going to stop praying for that. No, you need to get some more fervency in your prayer, and you need to just begin to thank God for it. God, I thank you that you're doing that. God, it don't matter how long it takes because you're never late. So it says here, it resisted me 21 days, and then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. What is the point of this account that I've just read to you? I've told you some hindrances to prayer. As those went out, if your heart was convicted, work on those areas. Work on those areas. See, when you hear a message and your heart gets convicted and you know that that's for you, that don't mean get offended at your pastor. That just means, you know what? God, thank you for showing me an area of my life that I need to work on. Because, see, you said that word just for me. I saw it. It hooked me right in the heart. God, help me to get that thing in my life better. But there are times, like Daniel, that you've prayed for something. And you've mourned over it. You've grieved over it. And you're sitting there going, God, what's going on? I've done everything that you've asked me to do. God heard you the very first time you prayed about it. He heard it. I promise you, he heard it. What do? You keep on praying over that. You pray over something until you get a peace about it. When you get a peace about it, you shift the prayer into a prayer of thankfulness. God, I thank you that you're going to bring that to pass. Lord, it's all in your timing, but God, you're going to bring that. Dad, I trust that you have a closing for this because you do. It's not that I can't do it, but I've learned to go with the anointing, and when it shuts off, it's off.
Stay up here with me. And I'm on the green microphone, please. I want to say this here.